All right, the time is 4 minutes in the of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. A very, very good morning to you, Eagle FM listeners, and no matter where you are tuning in from, thank you so much for always choosing us and supporting us. So welcome to the Early Morning Scoop. This is a show where we speak about the latest update on the economy, entrepreneurship, public policy. We give you all that about trade. And I'm your host, Loisa Sherman. And of course, I'll be with you until the hour of 7:30 just to give you the usual update. And please do not forget to follow us on our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as the Village News web page on Facebook, Instagram. And do not also forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, just for the daily news update and of course the newspaper outlets. And do not forget to download our Eagle FM app. You find that on your Google Play Store and of course your App Store, and so that you can also be able to know that you stay informed wherever you go. And to start off internationally, is that the In Zambia, the stakeholders in the transport sector are happy with the reduction of a fuel pump prices, and the Public Passenger Transport and Drivers Association of Zambia National Security says the reduction symbolizes government commitment to its promises. They said also that this association anticipates more fuel reduction, enabling the transport sector to perform better. We might take a lesson.
The ZAMA open access policy injected in the petroleum sector on April 1st, 2025 has started spilling over to consumers through reduced fuel prices. Yesterday, government announced a cut on fuel prices, with all products reduced by nearly 3 kwacha, with diesel returning to below the 30 kwacha mark, now selling for 27 kwacha, 38 ngwe per litre. Energy expert Boniface Zulu attributes the price cut to the implementation of the Tazama Open Access Policy, which has improved fuel price logistics.
The reason for the reduction in terms of petrol or diesel is attributed to the fact that the Tazama pipeline has been made, has an open access policy now, meaning there are more OMCs to use the pipeline, which reduces the cost of fuel or of transportation of the commodity, as well as the delays in terms with customs.
In an interview with ZMBC News, Public Passenger Transport and Drivers Association of Zambia National Secretary Sydney Mbewe said the reduction reflects government's commitment to fulfilling its promises of affordable fuel prices.
I think as an association, yes, we do acknowledge the efforts that government is making to even up the space in which we operate as bus drivers and also as operators within the public transport sector. So we hope the parameters that have led to this significant drop remain constant.
Some motorists are happy with the reduced fuel prices.
It's thanks to the Minister of Energy and the Cabinet, the President, what are they doing? They keep fuel prices. We hope that my watu zankara ko better.
Yesterday, yeah, the fuel has been reduced, and we really so appreciate that because we are targeted of Yango taxi drivers, our business came down. So as it is now, since the fuel has been reduced, I think we are going to have a benefit.
Karen Mwaka, ZMBC News, Lusaka.
All right, there you go. Now to move on to the next item is that the still in Zambia is that the over 7,700 tons of maize is expected to be harvested from the Zambia Air Force farm in Rufanyama district in the 2024-2025 farming season. Now the First Minister says a bumper harvest from the Defence Force will help lower the cost of meal, which is essential to commodity. Now he's also said he also expressed a confidence that the Defense Force will always fully deliver on the presidential directive to ensure food security through active participation in agriculture.
President Hakainde Hichilema gave a directive for the Defense Force to go into agriculture following the declaration of the drought as a national disaster. Defense Minister Ambrose
Drought
disaster an emergency response team to coordinate the speedy actualization of President Hichilema's directive to the defense wings to mitigate the drought situation. The move is now reaping benefits as the Zambia Air Force is on the verge of its first harvest from its Lufwanyama 1 farm.
But with me, it seems.
Mr. Lufuma and Copper Belt Province Minister Elisha Matambu inspected the crops on the farm.
Very impressive indeed. Very impressive. The production is expected to be within, or the yield, sorry, is expected to be within the range of 7 to 8 tons per hectare. Overall, the Defense Forces has taken this directive very seriously. And we have, this season, not less than 4,000 hectares under cultivation in terms of maize, okay, which is our staple food.
And Mr. Matambo says his province is playing its part in ensuring food security.
His vision is to make sure that eventually, mini meal should come down. If we have bump harvest like we are having here, and I'm sure you have seen that farmers, despite having the drought last year, they have responded positively, and we have to pray. We thank God that the president came to have prayers here, and the main focus was praying for the rains. And the Lord has given us rains. This is why we have such type of crops.
Meanwhile, ZAF Commander Lieutenant General Oscar Nyoni says more is yet to come from the Lufwanyama farm.
We are just next to the Kafue River here, and so we need to take advantage of that to make sure that we exploit the waters to our advantage so that we can do much more than we have done. It's already seen that we are capable of doing that. We should be able to take advantage of that and make sure that everyone in the Air Force is a part of this.
ZAF has also doubled at the farm through livestock rearing with over 240 cattle so far.
All right, and moving on to the next item is that the Electricity Minister, Ramaphosa, will be one of the main speakers at the second G20 Energy Transition Working Group meeting in Cape Town over the next 3 days. Now, the aim of this meeting is to bring together industrial players from across the world to collaborate on advancing sustainable energy transition, fostering essential cooperation, and, of course, knowledge sharing. Come and take a listen.
Mr. Hosiense Ramaphosa will be one of the main speakers at the second G20 Energy Transitions Working Group meeting that's taking place in Cape Town over the next 3 days. Now, the aim of this meeting is to bring together industry role players from across the world to collaborate on advancing sustainable energy transitions, fostering essential cooperation and knowledge sharing. SABC News reporter Abra Barbier is there in Cape Town for that meeting. Let's take you there now. Good morning. And I was just watching off screen. I'm not sure if you saw him. The minister just came in, and I think you were still busy. So this, of course, a very important meeting, not only because of the G20 context, but looking at, you know, the just nature of energy transitions across the globe. And we saw this week outages in Spain and Portugal, and raising so many questions once again around electricity and energy provision and stability. But what can we expect there today?
Sakina, good morning. Yes, of course, sustainable energy is a global discussion. We have seen what has been playing out across the world in terms of people protesting, asking for cleaner energy in their countries. And it is a very important discussion in South Africa as well, as we inch closer and closer to that point. The Minister of Electricity and Energy, Dr. Jose Enzo Ramakgopa, his department is hosting this morning's discussion. And, you know, with us having the presidency of the G20 this year, the various sectors within our government and governments around the world, they all broken up into various working groups. So today the G20 Energy Transitions Working Group, as you mentioned, the technical team, they will be meeting over the next few days here at the convention center in Cape Town at least. And there are two sidebar discussions taking place today. I just want to peep and make sure I got the themes right. Today there are two side events. The one is called The Role of Nuclear in Clean Energy, which of course is a very interesting conversation. And then the other side event is Energy Efficiency and Affordability, which of course is another big discussion. But the minister, as I said, he has arrived and he's normally on time. He is due to start speaking at 9 o'clock. And of course, we still need to set up so that we can bring all those visuals live to our viewers. But all these discussions will be taking place over the next 3 days, I think it is. And of course, we will be here to update you, to share with you what came out of the discussions, because we have partners from around the world here over the next few days, just sharing ideas and sharing knowledge on what the best way forward is for energy transition around the world.
All right, the time is 15 minutes in the of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now, to move on to the next item is that in Egypt is that the announcement comes as Egypt continued reform to an economy hit by recent regional and global volatility. We might take a listen to this update.
Kick-started an influx of hard currency. Qatar inked $7.5 billion of investments. Saudi Arabia pledged $15 billion, while the latest Kuwait has unveiled plans to turn $4 billion of deposits in Egypt's central bank into projects.
Egypt is a real and huge consumer market with over 100 million consumers. The Gulf countries are smaller, limited markets, though their purchase power is big, but not as big as Egypt. There are many opportunities for these companies to make a lot of profit here.
They follow the footsteps of neighbor United Arab Emirates, which last year pumped $35 billion to build Ras Al Hikma City along Egypt's north coast. The new investments are in a variety of industries, the majority in real estate and tourism sectors, as well as renewable energy, petrochemicals, automobiles and manufacturing.
These funds are crucial. Any foreign currency inflow would strengthen the Egyptian pound, would allow the import of essential goods, would revitalize the economy, create jobs, push growth rates up, and reduce debt levels.
But these contracts were not put into effect except after Egypt's government established a joint committee to tackle red tape and bureaucracy.
The government has taken steps to solve outstanding issues for Kuwait and other investors in Egypt. We also drafted regulations that will ease doing business to attract more FDIs.
Al-Qadi, who partners several Gulf companies in Egypt, has commended these procedures.
The Egyptian president himself ordered to waive all licenses and project establishing fees for investors. The government is applying the golden license, which cuts down all red tape, and is also offering tax exemptions. These incentives are attractive, but not enough. The joint committee will study more procedures to improve the business climate.
The latest.
All right. To move on to the next item is that the city has confirmed a widespread outage caused by the fire in Bloemfontein, and official earlier revealed that the bridge and the M1 highway might due to the cable thief and vandalism. Now, we might take a listen to this particular update.
Confirmed a widespread outage caused by.
Good evening, Kelly, and good evening to the viewers at home. You are quite correct. It's not the first time that we've had a fire under at the M1 highway, double decker highway. It's in our tunnels, and it's also not the first time that we've had fires within our tunnels across the city of Johannesburg, where we are on a daily basis battling the impact of criminality through the Zamazamas that are camped in our underground tunnels. They are feeding off some of the copper cables that we have underground, and that's why we are even suspecting that this fire that happened early this morning could have happened due to this criminality of copper cable theft that we normally are battling with in the city of Johannesburg.
So how widespread is the damage? And by that I mean the communities that are affected by the outage right now. How many of those communities are affected?
So basically, in terms of the distance of where the cable that has been damaged is, it's about 2 kilometers. So from Carr Street to Smith Street. So the Carr Street will be on the other side towards the new town, when you're going towards New Town Junction Mall, and it goes up the pillar, the highway pillars, and then into the tunnels, and then going across the two double decker highways and towards the Smith Street. That cable goes to, in fact, it's not one cable, it's several cable, about 12 cables. High voltage cables, they go towards Bramford Dale substation, feeding electricity from Fort Speck substation to Bramford Dale substation. So that is the damage that we suspect could have happened, about 2 kilometers of multiple cables that have been burned. And this is basically affecting power supply to several areas, including the whole of Bramford Dale, part of Parktown, part of Hillbrook towards the police station, part of Bree Taxi Rank and North Taxi Rank, and also part of the New Town, especially New Town Junction at the mall itself was off early this morning. However, the team while EMS was busy putting out the fires, we managed to basically find ways to backfeed some of the customers, especially those around Smith Street, around Volmaran Street. And by the time I left site, which is about an hour ago, the team was also trying to ensure that Vets University is also restored, and so that the people there will have power.
So as we end the conversation, yes, efforts are being made to restore electricity to the areas that are experiencing a blackout right now. How long would you say the last community to be reconnected will take?
So as we left the site, we had a meeting with all the departments that were involved in the recovery and also the putting out of the fires. So EMS was very much in control of the site since the morning. As you can imagine, they were putting out the fires. They were ensuring that the tunnels themselves, they are cooling off. The heat in there is sprayed by water, and also the fumes are basically pushed out. So most of the day, City Power was not doing anything within those tunnels that were affected by the fire, but it was EMS. And JMPD was also had closed two traffic lines, so they were busy dealing with the traffic. So in terms of City Power, we are waiting for the site to be handed over to us so that our technicians can basically be able to deal with, move in, assess the extent of the damage, quantify the amount of infrastructure or material that is needed to do the repairs. I've already mentioned that we are suspecting that about 2 kilometers of cables have been damaged by this fire. So EMS, it says they can only be able to give us the go-ahead tomorrow morning. So we're expecting that by mid morning tomorrow, we will be able to move in to ensure that we do the repairs. But as I mentioned, the other teams were basically trying to repair some of the interconnectors from our Ford substation and also Bramford Dale substation to ensure that we can backfeed some of these customers. And we're hoping that at least 50% of these customers will be back on by tomorrow morning, and then we can then ascertain
if we can be able to restore 100% by midday. So, but that information we can only be able to confirm tomorrow morning after making sure that we quantify the amount of damage that has happened and also what amount of work still needs to be done to make sure that we restore supply to those customers that are affected.
All right, the time is 24 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now, to move on to the next item in Uganda, is that the sector brought in a record of $1.3 billion in 2024. Uganda tourism industry insights attribute the increase to a boost in international tourism arrivals and the overall strong post-pandemic recovery of the industry.
Tourism is roaring back to life. More visitors are coming in to experience Uganda's wildlife attractions. The wildlife agency says conservation efforts have seen a rise in animal populations, making chances higher for tourists to see them.
You don't want a tourist to look for a gorilla as if he's looking for medicine. You get me? Tourists should come, do gorilla tracking, 1 kilometer. They interact with the gorilla group for 1 hour and go when they're happy. You don't want to spend a whole day looking for a gorilla. So as we do all this to ensure that we protect these gorillas, to ensure that the population grows, we also want to enhance the tourism experience.
However, the growth in animal numbers could also lead to disease outbreaks because of more interactions with people. Conservationists are worried about the spread of viral infections to animals, which could threaten to bring down the sector.
Threats of disease outbreaks, because we know that these can actually wipe out these gorillas in just minutes or weeks. So we are paying very close attention to this. And as WWF, we are now rolling out, in addition to conservation, we are rolling out programs that consider the One Health approach. One Health ensures that, first of all, the communities around this Bwindi are doing well health-wise, because we know that any interaction can pass on the diseases.
The tourism trends and statistics report shows growth in 2024 was largely driven by visitors from African countries. There was also a 7.7% rise in international tourist arrivals, 1.4 million up from 1.3 million visitors in 2023. The United States, India, and China remain Uganda's leading overseas markets. Safari operators say the country needs to diversify its markets for better results.
We need to be able to tell the world that Uganda is actually beautiful. We need to be able to engage more resources in marketing. We've just been having a debate this morning about a country like Kenya, having Mombasa with over 8 charter companies that fly tourists into Mombasa weekly basis, and we don't have any.
Tourism remains one of Uganda's top revenue earners. In 2024, the sector contributed 6.6% to gross domestic products. The government is now looking more into investment in culture and ecotourism to boost revenues.
All right, lastly, on the international
international
segment, is that the President Hakainde Hichilema says the government is working on reducing the cost of living and the cost of doing business. Now, President Hichilema said this, his government has had the concern from the people of Zambia regarding the higher cost of living and has also started putting in place measures to address it. Now, the head of state has said the reduction in the price of fuel is one of the steps that will help the lowering the cost of production, which will in turn can increase production and lower the prices of commodities, including the food. We might take a listen.
With the efforts of a Zambian worker, hundreds of Mansa residents and employees from different companies and organizations joined in this year's International Labor Day celebrations at Kaole Stadium in Mansa. Kaole Stadium was the venue for this international event and was filled to capacity. President Hakainde Hichilema graced the Labor Day celebrations with a special recognition on the Zambian worker for the efforts to grow the country's economy at 4% despite the country experiencing drought last year.
I don't know how to express it.
without you doing what you did, with electricity shortages, with food shortages, the support you gave your government, the partnership that you rendered to feed our people, and as we promised that nobody would die out of hunger, truly nobody died of hunger. We could have never done it without the support of you, the workers. We could have never, ever done it. So thank you, and thank you very much.
President Hichilema also talked about his government's resolve to lower the cost of living and that of doing business.
Your government will continue to work to lower the cost of living, to lower the cost of doing business. And I'm glad that Minister, Luapula Province, you have indicated that we have breached the psychological mark of 30 kwacha price of fuel and above. We brought it down to 27 kwacha. This is psychological. It will help to lower the cost of doing business because fuel is the mover of the economy. This will continue so that we can also lower inflation. Mr. Mulala, President Mulala, Madam Ngoma, we lower the cost of living. Fuel is one ingredient. With higher production of food, you will see also the price of food coming down. This is the methodical way of working, which we've talked about all along. Just watch the space. You will see how we respond to this aspect as your government. Because we are concerned when Zambians are talking about the high cost of living. And these are the measures we are putting in place.
Mr. Hichilema also said the government will continue to strengthen social security, both in legislation and tax waivers from the National Pension Scheme Authority, NAPSA.
Your government will continue deliberate measures such as positive discrimination in the procurement process. When we buy goods, we will make sure we buy goods first and foremost, first priority given to locally produced goods, such as what we have done in fertilizer. We are now buying fertilizer from local manufacturers, including our own nitrogen chemicals, deliberately, so that we can put more money in our businesses will employ more people, the unions will have more members, and you will have more subscriptions coming to your coffers. FH Bomba.
The Luapula Province Minister wants the natural resources in the province to be exploited.
Luapula is a province of untapped potential, blessed with lakes like Bamburu, Mwelu, and Molotipa, and we are scaling up fish production to harness our aquatic wealth as a province. Our federal land receiving over 1,200 millimeters of annual rainfall supports thriving agriculture from cassava, maize, soybeans, and livestock farming, while the MPND government is amplifying cassava production to spur industries like brewing and create jobs for our youth and women.
Labour Minister Brenda Tambatamba said her ministry is working on reforms aimed at improving the life of a worker.
I wish to make mention of the recurring historical point of debate and dialogue concerning our ministry, the Ministry of Labour and Social Security, and its ability, capacity to reach out to all the workers of this country in the 120 districts of this nation. This discussion has been our key focus area as we took government amongst the reforms that we are undertaking to improve the lives of workers.
Speaking at the same.
All right, there you have it. Now we will take a very short commercial break. Then once we return, we'll take you through the local news updates.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Buck your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, Rio Sherero o Maimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing for Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-5863. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated...
Yeah, it's 35 minutes in the office o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop with me, Loisa Shemi. Now, to move on, we're going to start in locally, in terms of local news, is we're going to start with one of the story from our newspaper of today. Please do not forget to rather subscribe and ask for the newspaper, or rather subscribe to the our WhatsApp channel, that is Eagle FM Media House, and so that you can able to be getting the newspaper every day it's released. Now, to start here is that the domestic farmers, the domestic finances are key to... Sorry, yeah, domestic farmers finances are key to making policies work that aim to boost local participation in the complex sectors like oil and gas. Now, the bank Windhoek's management director Brunel's Hans made this clear when industry leaders met in Windhoek this week for the 7th Namibian International Energy Conference. Now, she said the bank is committed to funding and investing in sustainable projects across the oil and gas value chain. Now, Hans stressed the need to invest in infrastructure that enables Namibia to realize its energy goals. Now, she said the country's draft local content policy for oil and gas is a step toward making sure citizens benefit from petroleum resources through their involvement in the sector. Now, financing is a cornerstone of participation, and without access to capital, local businesses and entrepreneurs cannot meaningfully engage into the oil and gas value chain. That was Hans said. Now, she also added that including the financial sector in local content requirement is necessary. Now, this approach builds institutional resilience, fostering local financial aspect, and enhance national ownership of the sector's development. That's what she said. Now, Hans also said that Bank Windhoek would not be a passive observer, and the bank will invest in the project that are viable, aligned with national goals, and have also the potential to include more Namibians. Now, she said the bank is ready to work with both the public and private sectors to make sure oil and gas investment lead to long-term national development. Now, the executive director of investment, Francis Van Wyk, also spoke at the conference. He said the public-private partnership, that's now PPS, after offer more than just funding. They also help with knowledge sharing, innovation, and skills development. Unlocking the potential of PPPs is in the oil and gas sector requires more than intent, and it also demands action. So we need institutions that are eager, capable, and transparent. That was what he said. Now, he also pointed that out the Namibia needs investors who care about more than just profit. So they must be committed to sustainable development and empowering local, as that what he said. Now, to move on to the next item, is that the Bank of Namibia Financial Stability Report indicates that although Namibia domestic economics is expected to grow by 3.8% in 2025, so now the report also stated that the Namibia is faced with the risk cyber crimes, and which can impact the banking system and financial well-being of the country. Now, David, my colleague, David Chombe, got into the conversation with Dorgas Moshonganyika, a master's student in information technology at IUM, to discuss this for us.
Yes, why others are sleeping and also why others are resting in International Workers' Day. There are also those entrepreneurs who believe.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at cyber security. It was indicated that Bank of Namibia, during launching of its financial stability report, it stated that although the Namibian economy is expected to progress and grow very well among the international, crisis and also uncertainty in the global agenda, there is a problem which Namibia is going to expect, which is continuation of cyber attacks, either to industries and also individuals. So for us to unpack this and also to look at the context of the matter, I got into the conversation with Dorgas Moshonganyika. He's an IT master student at International University of Management, just to engage us on this matter and also to make sure that we get some clarity when it's coming to this this matter. Dorgas, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Yes. Let us look at what is in the context of Bank of Namibia Financial Stability Report. First of all, before we go to the context, what is the motivation of cybercrime and who is behind this?
Okay, so as for the motivation of cybercrime, there could be different motivations behind it, different reasons people do it, but mostly people do it for financial gain.
Okay.
Most cyber criminals aim to steal money. That's why you see most phishing scams always ask you for personal information like credit card information so you can access your financial accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But even though they don't ask you for like your credit card directly, they can still use that information of yours to open up loans in your name at the end of the day, mostly just to get finance, just for financial gain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, before we go to our second questions, let's look at like what happened last year with Telecom being hacked and also some of the information we ran away with. Now, regarding this sector, how can a country, an institution or individual protect their information, particularly those sensitive information, financial information and also health information, and them not being, the victims of cyber attacks, as it was indicated to be the continuation of that threat?
Okay, so we'll start with institutions. Institutions, they don't have to implement strong cybersecurity protocols and policies.
Yeah.
There are mechanisms and systems they can use, firewalls, intrusion detection systems.
Yeah.
Nowadays, these systems use AI, so they're able to see weird behavior or abnormal behavior within a network and report it before an attack happens. And there are other measures that people can do themselves, such as two-factor authentication.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed this, but sometimes when you try to log into your email,
yeah,
to send you a code on your SMS, your phone number,
yes,
and you use that.
Yeah.
So that's basically as a second guard against people that may already know your password. So that if someone finds your password, they won't be able to log into your accounts if they don't have your phone number. So one of the things that people and the institutions can enforce is two-factor authentication.
Mm-hmm.
Institutions, regular employee training is something that they should also take into account of, because that is one way that attackers can get into an institution like Telecom through the employees.
Yeah.
They aren't aware of cybersecurity matters. They can easily allow them to get into it. Mm-hmm. And lastly, for the government, I know that Namibia has very good cybersecurity policies, but they're not being enforced. That's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The moment they start being enforced, the moment we start punishing people for doing these things, the rates will go down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Douglas, let us look at public Wi-Fi, because I got into a conversation with one of the IT specialists also, and he advised not really individuals to use public Wi-Fi, especially when we are making transaction. What is the context? What is the problem? Me using, for example, International University of Management Wi-Fi or UNAM Wi-Fi to do the transaction with online banking. What is the problem with that?
You never know what's happening within a public Wi-Fi. Public Wi-Fi is less protected than a private Wi-Fi network.
Mm-hmm.
You know that anyone can easily log into a public Wi-Fi without any type of password or any type of authentication.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sure who is really doing that.
Mm-hmm.
One day someone that is actually trying to steal people's data can log into that Wi-Fi that you are also logged into, and you are exposed to them as well. So it's a good idea not to go onto public Wi-Fi if you're doing anything that involves your personal information. So mm-hmm. if you're doing any type of banking, you're going to your emails, anything like that, it's recommended not to use public Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let us look at before we go to the economy. Now, how can, in your view, do we have experts in cybercrime in Namibia who can protect us or can fight back criminals like international hackers? Because we are so shocked when last year Telecom was hacked, and also some ministries, and it was a bit of chaos. As you are rating now, I know you are a student in that field. When you are looking, do we have capacity, or we still to do more?
We do have the capacity to, definitely. It's just that we need to increase our interest in how seriously we take cybersecurity these days. We see that a lot of people don't really take it seriously. Companies would not hire people that are within the field, or they pay them like very little that they might not even be interested in what they do anymore.
Yeah.
So I think we just need to increase investment within the field of cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Increase investment in educating people, not just individuals, but businesses as well, on the importance of it. We do have companies that do this currently, the Salt NA, that does do employee training for businesses on the matter of cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And I think that more companies should look into companies like Salt to help with cybersecurity training. And they don't just do training, they also help with businesses setting up cybersecurity systems, etc. They're not the only ones. I'm just saying this is an example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not affiliated with them in any way. I'm just saying that we need to look out for more people that are within the cybersecurity industry and take them seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Douglas, just before I let you go, let us look at a little bit on the banking sector. How easy is it from you, as somebody who is doing research and somebody who is doing a postgraduate in IT, how easy it is to, you know, manipulate the banking system? Because we have seen a lot of people are being scammed, a lot of people are sent emails and also being sent, you know, a PIN with exact number, exact communication, like from the bank. How easy it, and how can we protect, particularly with, you know, that scam within the banking sector?
Okay. Well, it depends on your level of skill, but if a person is good enough, they can easily send you something called a phishing email.
Yeah.
In this email, they can pose or pretend to be a legitimate company. Mm-hmm. For example, if your bank is Bankvindo,
yeah,
they pretend that they are sending you an email from Bankvindo,
mm-hmm,
asking you something, maybe log into your account through this email.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that if you interact with that email, it will take you to a website that is not Bankvindo's email.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, whatever you write inside that website,
yeah,
goes straight to them, and they can use that further on, steal your identity, use your banking details, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So what an individual can do to protect themselves from these types of attacks is to be very careful with the emails that you open or the links that you get sent.
Mm-hmm.
Many times people get sent messages that say, you bought an iPhone,
yeah,
log in to redeem your prize. You know, you did not enter any competition. Why are you opening such things?
Yes.
Just be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
One rule of thumb is to look at the domain.
Mm-hmm.
So the domain is basically what's in front of the .com.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't look right, you probably shouldn't look into it.
Okay, repeat that again. The domain.
Yeah. So the domain is basically what's in front of the .com. So basically google.com is the domain,
mm-hmm,
or envindo.com is the domain.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an email from a place that says bank-vindo.com,
mm-hmm,
and you know that's not the correct one,
yeah,
you probably should not go into it. So every time a person looks at the link, they need to look at the domain and make sure it's legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Douglas, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and thank you for your input.
Thank you very much, David.
Yes.
All right, the time is 50 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now, to move on to the next item is that yesterday, on the International Workers' Day, of course, of employment, are still on the move to push on the end of the envelope. Of course, young entrepreneurs, Sambinu, known as Wizi Pokoloko, is one of the business person who just stated that many do not sleep, and of course commented that all the business person shall be resilient and always work hard in order to meet the end means. Now, David Chombe, my colleague, also got into the conversation with the entrepreneur in order just to gain this insight. We might take a lesson.
Yes, why others are sleeping, and also why others are resting in International Workers' Day. There are also those entrepreneurs who believe that money does not sleep. I went into the conversation with one SME operator, Wizi Pokoloko, who is a businessman and is busy pushing the end of an envelope, even this time of International Workers' Day. Wizi Pokoloko, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. What about you, Mr. David?
I'm doing very well. I'm just impressed by your resilience. How is business going? If you have to start, how is business going so far?
Amazing, wonderful. I can't complain. I have to thank God I'm alive, first of all. And I can't complain, otherwise I destroy the day itself, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, now, maybe what sector are you in, and why are you not resting like others during the International Workers' Day? What's motivating you?
I'm an SME, I'm a small business entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I can't rest, you know. Money doesn't sleep anyways, so I can't rest. We do sleep, we do close our eyes, you understand?
Yeah.
But we don't rest, really.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, let us look at the concept of SME operators in Namibia. How can government, even, international funders or domestic funders, can assist entrepreneurs and also those who are running small businesses to operate fully and also to expand more? What assistance do you guys need, particularly in this sector?
As a small business operator, as I am, CEO, director, and everything,
yeah.
I would love to ask for more, like, equipment, because it's what we need.
Yeah.
Without the gun, you can't go to a war, you know?
Yeah.
So, without the equipment, we can't work, we can't really learn that much, you understand? We can put our mentality, our capability of thinking
yeah.
low, because we don't have equipment. Once you are doing practical, I think it's much better than theory.
Yes, I understand that you are selling, a phone screen. You are also selling some phone parts, and you are here outside. Maybe let us look at equipment, like what you have said. If businesses need assistance, you said you cannot go to war without gun. What kind of assistance a business person like you need, if you have to say?
Permission. We are hustlers.
Yeah.
Permission. Okay, nobody can sell at Black Chain today, right?
Yes.
But how was it before?
Uh-huh.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
Where are those people? Mm-hmm. Well, let me not talk about that. Anyways, I would like at least give us a place where we can sell and feel like, yes, we're doing it. Because uh-huh. we also need to survive every uh-huh. single day. So once we have that assistance, I think we can do better.
Uh-huh.
Now, for the entrepreneurs, they have to know that we can't sleep.
Yeah.
We can't rest.
Yeah.
We don't have time to rest. Because
yeah.
even home, you have to work anyways.
Yes. Maybe let us move forward. Let us look at challenges that you are facing when you are operating a business. Because the last time in my show, we were talking about, customers don't respect the price of entrepreneurs. Everyone want to come and negotiate. Everyone want a lower price. How do you find this, and how do you deal with it? Because you look like you've been around, but how do you deal with this thing of undermining the price of, business individuals?
Wow. First of all, we can't judge. Customer is always right.
Yeah.
So don't judge. Just do what you have to do. Be loyal. Be consistent. Consistent in your effort. You see, once you help a person in a lower price,
yeah.
you understand that person gonna bring more people, right?
Yeah.
Don't think about the loss. Obviously you lose. We have to lose and win. These are businesses. Because
yeah.
There will come a couple that will say, listen, I want two protectors or two covers, or let me say two cables for my laptop. You have to sell in a good price so that yeah. these people, they also bring more people. You understand?
Yeah.
So even if you lose, you don't really lose.
Uh-huh.
You just gain.
Oh, which means that you have to make money through negotiation and also try to find the balance.
Thank you very much. You can't forget about that. Never forget about the balance,
uh-huh.
because that makes your business, let me say.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe before we go to the last question, what was the last time that you feel so down, or maybe your business was challenged, then you wanted to give up? What was the last time that thing happened, and what motivated you to pick up? Because we understand that most of the entrepreneurs, they always face that moment where you think everything is going out. What is your take, and how is your view on that?
I was taken, my thing were gone, because
yeah.
we were selling, down Vernio.
Okay.
That was 2020.
Yeah.
And we used to run around, and they took my stock. The police took my stock, and I didn't have how to go and grab it back, because, come on, I can't be there.
Yeah, okay.
Understand? I don't want that environment. I don't want to pay for it, because I don't have money for that. I can't. You understand?
Yeah.
But then, anyways, I had to let it go.
Okay.
And I was like, why? Should I change even business?
Yeah.
But I didn't. I didn't give up.
Okay.
This 2025, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I've been running this.
So you said that you were motivated by money, or you were motivated by you don't have other business to do, but just to do it.
I'm like, we don't have choice. And life, it's about choice.
Yeah.
You do what you want to do, isn't
yeah.
it? You choose your destination, actually. Mm-hmm. We don't know our destination,
yeah.
but we chose ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, maybe the last message that we have to entrepreneurs out there who think they want to give up, some of them, they think things are not going fine. There's always those sectors of being demotivated. What is your message to those hustlers out there like you who wake up every day and who work every day and every hour?
Give up? Never.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
My queens, don't sleep, don't rest. Let's go back on these ones. Today, many people are racing, you know?
Yeah.
They are Babalazo, I don't know,
yeah.
You know? Don't rest your mind. You shouldn't rest. That's the only way you can never give up. And think positive and more. Wake up, pray. First thing we have to do, pray. Because we are alive because of the glory, because of God, because of Himself. Because once you don't pray, you make your day difficult.
Okay.
And no, most definitely, either you believe or not.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you very much, Wizzy Pokololo. Thank you very much for your time and also continue doing business.
Thank you very much. That's forever, anyways. Forever.
All right, the time is 7 o'clock and for this early morning script. Thank you so much for that. And I apologize for a bit of background noise. I'm sorry for that. We can go into a very short commercial break. Then once we return, we'll take you through the more of the local updates.
Omutiha kutekelwa kabona imatina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyawo otaingotisa mwene anageshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitiramo ikelefe media house ngoe tuende kuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omupashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu moambo lengera selma konora heta tuimu datu ndatu heari jamano tano oniaji Eagle FM go high.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Inyo.
All right, it's 1 minute in the of 7 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. And now to continue with local updates is that the tourism is one of the important sector in the country development, and of course Namibia is one of the countries with ample resources in terms of flora and fauna, and also in terms of very, very good places, or places that, of course, natural features such as the desert and the coastal towns. Now, on this, my colleague, Seaman, spoke to Odeka Heita Kambuta, one of the person into, or the official into the tourism sector. Just to unpack this for us, how is the sector is doing or have been doing over the past 5 years? And we can take a listen to their discussion.
Okay, today we are going to look on the importance of tourism in our Namibian economy or in the country's development. As we all know that tourism refers to the activity of people traveling and staying in places outside their usual environment for various reasons, including wages, business, or other purposes. So tourism creates job opportunities, it strengthens the local economy, contributes to local infrastructure development, and it can also help to conserve the natural environment and cultural assets and tradition, as well as to reduce poverty and inequality. So today we are going to engage with our African hospitality and tourism, Elder Heita Kambuta, on the importance of sectors in the country's development. So good morning, Elder Heita Kambuta, and welcome on the Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning to Eagle FM, and good morning to the listener, and the listener of Eagle FM, and good morning to all our beloved people in the land of the brave. Thank you for having me.
Okay, my question is on this, or let me say my question on the importance of tourism is, in your viewers, how is the tourism sector doing for the past 3 years?
Right. No, thank you very much for the questions. Look, the past 5 years, tourism has not done so well due to the COVID pandemic. Now, but for the last, I think in the last 2-3 years, it has have done well. There are some positive outlook that we can highlight post-COVID-19. Now, today, I like to put hospitality and tourism together because these two, they cannot be divorced. I'm of that belief that is hospitality and tourism is like a mother and a father. They cannot be divorced. Even during COVID, we don't divorce this one. When they go down together, they go down together. When they resurrect together. So today, the hospitality and tourism industry is, for the last 2-3 years, has rebounded and it has entered a new era after the pandemic. And it is bringing out some changes and challenges and the emergence of trends. So the sectors, you know, post-COVID has recovered and bounced back tremendously. And now the demand for skilled young labor in these sectors are on higher demand. Currently, we are about to start a peak season, which normally starts officially in June, July there. So the hotels and the lodges are currently searching for young, skilled talent to help them to navigate the new era of hospitality and tourism employment, meaning to say a sea of opportunity for those who want to enter the industry with the necessary skills. So the tourism has done very well. I do not have the statistic from our colleague NTB at the moment, looking at the arrival of that. I think I read it somewhere, but it's just to say it has recovered and it's doing very well at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. What are the possible, when it comes to tourism, right? We have, new government place an emphasis on youth upliftment. In your view, how can the tourism industry be expanded and accommodate and benefit youth nowadays?
The tourism is crucial for the Namibian economy, driving growth, creating jobs, and stimulating related industry, because it contributes significantly to the national GDP and support the livelihood of the people, while also at the same time fostering infrastructure development. But we also have a diverse attraction in Namibia, and a lot of tourists will come because of attraction such as our cosmopolitan, diverse, our culture, the wildlife scenery, and the cultural experience. So perhaps one would then look at the key point that one would look at the positive or the impact of tourism in terms of economy. The economic growth, we need to look at this. The tourism is a major source of revenue contributing to Namibian GDP. It creates employment. In terms of employment opportunities, these sectors provide numerous jobs opportunities, both direct and indirect. Chefs, waiters, cooks, barmen, event management. You also have the sport tourism, cultural tourism, educational tourism. So it creates most of jobs. And then also the other point, you can look at infrastructure development. So with the demand from tourism, the drives, this drive infrastructure development benefits other sectors, because the government is forced here to make sure that you have a proper infrastructure in place, such as roads. You see some roads, the western bypass passing all the way, Yunnan, the dual carriage to go to international airport. Some of this consideration is because of the demand from tourism. Remember, in tourism and also other sectors, the market dictates to us, and so sometimes you are proactive and sometimes you are active and sometimes you are reactive. There is nothing wrong for you sometimes to be reactive. But yes, it is important for you to do research, market research. But sometimes you wake up and the boom of the market dictates. You remember, like during the COVID dictated to us what to do. We need to create, to come up, to manufacture hand sanitizers, masks, and all. So the same with the tourism, it does that. So it also bring in the benefit of foreign exchange.
Significantly.
And also, in terms of diversification, yes, we have such beautiful and our culture, in terms of cultural tourism, our members are sending their beads, those craft and the beads and our foods. We focus on that. They making revenue from that. But we can also diversify from the reliance of a traditional tourism. Mm-hmm. So if the government is to realize the importance of tourism, young people can benefit immensely here, because this is, you don't have, there's no need for you to have a high qualification for you in terms of a PhD, master degree, all that, to own a restaurant or a tour guide or travel agency. Tibet will come in here and skill these people, and then the young people receive such skills, then they can apply for soft loan, and then they can start up with their own business, or we can also fill up the market. Some start entrepreneurs, become entrepreneurs, and some are employers, some are employees. So we just the realization of the importance of tourism. Perhaps the Ministry of Tourism, through NTD and other tourism stakeholders in hospitality and tourism, we should come up with a 5-year plan if there is none. If there is, then we must reinforce this. So this 5-year plan for tourism, it must align to the National Development Plan, must also align to the Tourism Sector Master Plan, and also aligned to the national tourism sector strategy. So tourism is one of the fast growing economy sectors. And there is an opportunity to increase the employment for our people. Okay. And then as part of this plan, just quickly, we must have a target to say what are we would like to achieve in the next 5 years to 2030 in terms of arrival. Perhaps I see somewhere in South Africa, they have a target of just by 2030, they must meet increase their arrival to 15. For us, maybe we can say 12 million. Them is 15 million. For us, we must target 15 million by 2030. Okay. So, So that's what I can only say at the moment.
Okay. Okay. What are the good and bad things about tourism, and what do you think tourism will be like in the future or in the next 5 years?
The good is the positive. The positive of the tourism in terms of the economic impact.
Mm-hmm.
The positive is that it creates employment, it's employment creation.
Mm-hmm.
Tourism creates jobs for both skilled and unskilled or non-skilled. And it is a labor intensive industry. And then some other positive is that tourism boosts development for support industry. For example, the colleagues such as the Dinapama, the textile industry, the manufacturing, or any other industry that deals directly or indirectly with the tourism through the suppliers of a commodity, fresh produce, beverages, food, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It also, some of the positive or good is also that tourism decentralizes the development. What I mean here is that it moves development out of the established town to the remote area. Mm-hmm. Remember, tourists from overseas, the external tourism, you people call them international. I don't know why you say international. I call them external tourism. When they come here, you know, those guys, they have developed a high building already. They are from city. So they want the remote. They want those untapped places that no one has visited, the virgin place. They want to go there and be in proximity with our people. So they visit those remote.
Okay.
And also, tourism seems to be more effective. And so
mm-hmm.
you, those are the positive. But if you look at the negative tourism is that. Some tourists, when they come here, they mingle with our people, our people here on the ground, and they tend to diminish and disrespect our norms and beliefs, and sometimes brainwash our people and to become like them. So let's say you go to the Himbas area, then they see our people there, mm-hmm. those are our norms, beliefs, the native people, they wear those traditional there. Their attires. So
mm-hmm.
now the tourists can come there, bring them some t-shirt and all that, and they say, no, don't wear this. It's uncivilized. You must wear this. But then
because they respect their tradition.
Yeah, you see that. Yeah. Then those are the negatives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also tourism, but some of the negative is also that over dependence on the tourism,
mm-hmm.
it can lead to dangerous lack of economic diversity. So we do not need to just to focus only on tourism. If we are the budget heavy to come and we just pump money on the tourism and we just depend on the tourism,
mm-hmm.
when the natural disaster comes, such as COVID-19, there was also SARS, then we will be doomed. So we should not just be over dependent on tourism.
Now, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Tourism. The last one is tourism can cause also the land degradation or like if they are doing tours in the Tosha or somewhere, they might destroy the grass and all that. That's why you find in those national parks, it's very strictly to say, even if you're doing self-drive, the area that you should only travel, you should not disturb our wild animals, the grass, do not disturb, because the tires can destroy the grass. So those are some of the negative of tourism.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
How can technology be used in Namibia to improve the tourism sector?
No, nowadays the world has moved on. The digitalization, the millennium, they call it the millennium time, and artificial intelligence, technology, social media. So what we need to do, we need to use more technology to create awareness about Namibia and to make Namibia as a favorable destination country to everyone. This is we have to identify proper communication tools that are useful and be able to reach out to everyone out there in the world, creating awareness, go to areas that people were not aware of Namibia, what it can offer. So that is the beauty of technology, and it's very cost-saving. Mm-hmm. We advertising nowadays can be done just with your phone. The technologies, ticketing, the e-ticketing, e-booking. You can also create a product with technology, advertising, and then attract the people to come to the country, because it's always good when you see this technology advertisement, you then want to come and see it by yourself live.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is about the technology, we can also have use technology on where we have live television showcasing our attraction. Say you have an NBC station in Etosha,
mm-hmm.
and you have a live capturing videos of wild animals coming to the watering hole, and it show the beauties of the wild animals and our people that are at home. Even one day if you are off, you just watch on live on the television, and then once you have saved enough money, you can then travel and to see really now life of what you have seen on the TV. Now you go in there now to. Mm-hmm. So technology can bring tourism right on your sofa in your sitting room, mm-hmm. even in your on your phone. Mm-hmm. Why you in the office?
Yeah. Okay,
thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Elder Heita Kambuta, for being with us on the Early Morning Scoop, and thank you for engaging with us. I would like to say, have a blessed day ahead.
Thank you, Radio Eagle FM, and thank you for having me,
mm-hmm.
and continue doing the great job and marketing our Namibia. Namibia is the land of the brave, the beauty, the flora, and so let's create good image for our country. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you have it. Now, to move on to the next item, is that the Crayfish Festival was officially opened yesterday, which is the 18th edition. Now, Aleta Fredericks, the governor of Karas region, spoke about how important Crayfish Festival to the town of the Rwanda. We might take a listen.
This festival is a cornerstone of our regional identity, celebrating the bounty of our seas and the vibrant culture of our people. This event provides a distinctive platform for the business community, for potential investors and global tourists, particularly our neighbors from the Northern Cape who are today in our midst. Have you mentioned that, and I think it was already mentioned, I would also like to express my sincere gratitude to the organizers of the Crayfish Festival Business Conference for the invitation. Mr. Mapimo, Chief Director, Economic Development and Tourism, from the Office of the Premier, along with his team, who have met me in Rochefina, I think it was on. I had the distinct honor of officially launching a joint marketing booklet titled Your Travel Guide to Combine the Best of Both, meaning Karas Region and the Northern Province. In 2023, the Cape Mansour Agricultural and Industrial Expo in Cape Mansour, that is well known as KAITIM, which marked a significant milestone in the economic development stream. This comprehensive guide showcases the tourism potential, hospitality industry, cultural heritage, breathtaking landscapes. The Crayfish Festival serves as a platform to position Goodreads as a leading tourism and investment hub in Namibia, significantly reshaping its economic and social landscape by offering small and medium enterprises a crucial opportunity to showcase their products and services. As the duration of this festival allows us to engage discover and identify synergies that can enhance investment opportunities, I urge all entrepreneurs and business professionals to take advantage of this unique opportunity to engage our partners through this enabling shared vehicle, Northern Cape Training Agreement. I think by now the training agreement is more than plus minus 24 years that we are in this agreement. And I want everybody to take advantage of this training agreement so that we can grow together and shine together as the two regions. Directors of Ceremonies, ladies and gentlemen, socially the Crayfish Festival acts as a catalyst for community interaction, drawing families and friends from across Namibia and beyond to reconnect. This annual event enriches Lundred's cultural fabric and fosters the development of unique social cultural activities that celebrates local heritage. The significant role of crayfish in Lundred's food industry and culture is indeed a fascinating phenomenon. The festival serves as a platform to encourage domestic crayfish consumption, not only within Lundred's but throughout Namibia. I would like to take this opportunity once again to urge the captains of the fishing industry, government agencies and all corporate entities in Namibia to support the annual Lundred's Crayfish Festival, which serves as a vital business forum and a platform for social cultural engagement. As I'm about to conclude my statement, allow me to express my profound gratitude also to the NEPI and those that came. Use your talent, showcase it. Because that's why you are here. To our vibrant Crayfish Festival, let's give magnificent celebration of Atlantic prowess, deep community spirit, and the unparalleled natural beauty that defines Lundred's. Once again, I urge all stakeholders, our local businesses, schools, and families to wholeheartedly embrace and support this remarkable initiative. Here, athletes from across our region will converge not merely to compete in the demanding disciplines of running and cycling, but to build bridges and forge connections that extend far beyond the finish line. This event is a powerful embodiment of unity through sports, a compelling reminder that when we stand together, united as a community, there are no limits to what we can achieve. Directors of Ceremonies, ladies and gentlemen, the presence of the Honorable Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform not only underscores governmental support but also motivates us to develop the crayfish industry, which has substantial potential to transform Lundred's economy and enhance Namibia's overall food service market.
All right, there you have it. Now, to move on to the next item, which will be the last update of the day, is that the Mobile Telecommunications Limited, that is MTC, celebrated its 30th anniversary this week, now marking three decades of service in Namibian telecommunication sector with a renewed preach to support the community's national development agenda through sustained socio-economic investment. Now, speaking of the event, MTC Managing Director Leakey Erastus said the company remains committed to improving the lives of Namibians by supporting sectors such as education, health, sports, arts and culture, entrepreneurship and poverty alleviation. Now, we have to achieve significant social and economic progress over the past three decades, but reality demands that we do not move. We are therefore reaffirming our commitment to sustainably supporting key sectors that can uplift our people. That's what Erasu said. Now, he also emphasized that MTC's focus remained on bridging the digital divide and extending ICT services to all Namibians. Now, he reassured the public that communities will remain central to every investment decision made by the company with the aim of ensuring long-term sustainability and national well-being. education, he noted, will be the key area of investment moving forward. And as we journey into the next 30 years, we must prioritize education to prepare a generation of innovators, servant leaders, and citizens who will also stand against corruption and work in the best interest of the all Namibians. Now, that's what Erasto said. Now, it is our collective responsibility to build this future by making meaningful investment today. And Prime Minister Eria Ngorale, who attended this celebration, underscored the importance of data data and digital inclusivity. Now, he urged MTC to ensure the protection of national data and emphasize the need to cross the remaining connectivity gap across the country. Now, on that, we must deliberately secure over our data, our national interests, and of course, security must not be compromised. That was Gurale's words. Now, he further challenged MTC to increase its network coverage from the current 98% to 100%, ensuring equal access to quality connectivity for all Namibians, regardless of geopolitical location. Now, reflecting on its technological milestones, MTC highlighted key achievement in its 30-year journey. Now, this included the rollout of 3G to and 4G networks, have becoming the second African operator to launch 4G in 2012 and being the first of the continent to draw 4.5G in 2016. Now, in 2017, MTC launched the $1 billion, or that is now 081 Everyone campaign to bridge the digital divide. Now, the company made history in 2021 and by becoming the first Namibian state-owned entity to list on the Namibian stock in exchange, following the government's decision to divest and offer over 40% shareholding to the public. Now, continuing its push for digital transformation, MTC launched Namibia's first 5G mobile network trial in 2024 in partnership with Huawei. Now, the company also entered the mobile financial services market in October 2024 with the launch of Maris and its e-money platform, increasing competition in a space previously dominated by commercial banks. That's what the article saying. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and I wish you really luck, and do listen to all our program of today, and enjoy the rest of the day plus also your weekend. Have a good one.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Imaneka Karunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel
anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, onara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, so aye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
By, you know,